What's up, people? Welcome to another episode of Garage Media Junkies. This is episode 26.
26.
All right, 26. Bring it on. After a lovely live stream, thank you for supporting everybody to watch. Even if you watch for, you know, a couple minutes, I know people in work or doing other stuff and you can't be there. But that video is going to be on the Facebook page for forever if you want. You know,
it was like, it doesn't have an expiration date,
right? I can die and Facebook is gonna keep getting money out of all my information, so that video is gonna be there. Welcome for the second time in front of us. Well, I just say us because it seems like you guys are kind of here, sort of.
It's that weird mentality. I get right. The same thing whenever podcasts that I listen to and they talk right. About us, and I'm always like, oh yeah, like yeah, I'm sitting right there in the room with them.
I know what you're listening. So yeah. It's my lovely friend Destiny Bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Chris Espinoza.
Yep,
that's right. So yeah, we are now Destiny Bros. For those of you that are following along this wonderful thread line of me dragging him into the Destiny universe, kicking and screaming. Yeah. He's twitching every now and then, and every now and then you'll see Hugo and I
right.
Online
doing
playing.
Something.
Usually, if we're playing, he'll most likely just go ahead and twitch that. So
right, just for fun,
just for funsies. Yeah, nothing too serious. I hear you got a face cam. Not a face cam, well, but at least a film card.
Yeah, it's like one of those video game cards. So now you can see my lovely and handsome. Stupid face on Twitch because I'm just gonna use the Mac camera.
Yeah,
I don't want to spend something again. This is just for fun and just because I sell some stupid gadget that I need. Like, oh, what am I gonna do with this money? Oh, yeah, just gonna buy a car game, beat a capture card game.
There you go, capture card.
So, text us if you want to see the most. Even more handsome face of Chris on Twitch. We will make an effort to do.
I will definitely make an effort to put my face on there. It won't be pretty.
Right.
You'll get to see my. I guess it's in Destiny terminology. You get to see my sweaty face.
There you go.
It's with my try hard face of just playing.
Yeah. By the way, you're freaking like Titan, like you know, clothing and all this stuff is like freaking amazing. You should go and add him on Xbox, which, what is your name?
Gamer tag is Zeppelin, Zepphlen.
Right. Mine is Film Angle together, one word, simple.
But I mean, you mentioned just like outfits. Mm. And the outfit that I have, you're going to get really shortly,
right.
The flame stuff. Yeah. Once you start the last DLC, those come in like little care packages for you, like every piece, so you'll get it.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to like rock out to you know like a flaming helmet right. Or whatnot. But
I got like that shiny, I think it's a wolf and then some wings on the chest, which so yeah. Far it's like the one that I like the most.
Yeah. But again, yeah, you start out small and you scrap together whatever you can find.
Well, I didn't start as small as you when you bought it.
True.
I cheat just somehow a little bit, you know.
Do you know what? I'll explain it to you off air, but even like the Destiny you have now of like climbing yeah. Levels, it used to be you got capped off at 20, and then if you wanted to get to 21, the gear you had on would get you to 21, then 22. And the only way you could get past 20 is if yeah. You played the raid.
Well, okay.
And so yeah. For those of us that didn't, it was just kind of like always this lost thing of oh, I guess yeah. I'm never getting past 20.
Right.
Unless you waited for Iron Banner, like what's happening now, this right. Multiplayer thing. So that's kind of why sure. I like all the wolf stuff, because the Iron Banner was the only way I got past 20. Right. And I was like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But no. So Hugo is now on there.
Yeah. You can also check us on the Facebook page on Garage Media Junkies. I'm going to link any Twitch that we do. I'm just going to put it there. If you want to know exactly when I'm going to Twitch, because right now I don't have a schedule. I'm working on it, but, you know, again, we repeat it over and over and over. We have so many things to do
true,
besides,
true.
And, you know, this.
And now that I'm off work, right. And I'm off on summer break because I work at a school, you know, I'll be more available to actually, right. If we set up like a day out of the week to
yeah,
Twitch,
exactly.
then I'll be more apt to.
Yeah, but if you want to know exactly when we're on, go to Twitch if you have a Twitch account and follow me and you can put the alerts because that's what I do with the few person that sometimes watch. I don't like to watch that much, but there are a few people just because they do like say stupid things and it's funny.
Right, right. And I even tested it out on Hugo's thing, and so
You get an email, and even on the app, you have the opt-in. Like,
yeah, my phone lights up totally, and it says that Film Inc. is broadcasting.
There you go. So you don't need to know probably the other. Well, yeah, I can say it. Instagram, Twitter, Film Inc. On Film underscore Inc. and then Facebook with my name, Hugo Mesa. So that's the way you can contact us. So it seems like nobody's jumping on the amazing prize. So what I'm planning to do is we're going to print some tests for Chris and I, and then we're going to take a few amazing selfie shots on the, you know, wonderful beach.
There you go.
Like professional taken. iPhone.
I'm not even going to say this. Nope. Yeah, no, we'll definitely take the pictures. I think that's what you guys need to see. You need
to see a little glimpse.
Some great specimens bodies, and you're going to be like, yes, yeah. I can wear this as well.
I mean, if you can rock as great as a rock that shirt, then you're fine. You know, especially, you know, there's nothing interesting there. But enough of this long, long, long introduction. We battle a little bit. Well, not battle, but I guess struggle a little bit with the topic for this podcast, because we didn't have that much. But I think it's going to be video games, movies in general. And the only reason that came on my brain really fast was because I saw the hopeful Resident Evil final chapter. Like I was telling Chris, it was so bad that I lose some knowledge of filmmaking. Like some part of my brain just shut down that part, like boop, you know. So my IQ went down like 10 points or something. Like
God.
It was just so awful. Like I never expect. Like I saw some reviews and comments, and which I tend to not follow strictly, you know, like just to see what's going on. You already know if you go to those movies, they're kind of bad.
Yeah.
And even the other ones before that one, everybody say that. Still have some you have the hope that at least it will be fun and some action throwing you there just to, you know, pass 2 hours and not even think about like, oh, I want a deep movie or something.
Yeah.
But this one, it was just bad. I was telling Chris the first scene and spoilers had of that movie. And probably it's fine because I'm going to save you so much, like $5 and your time. So it was the first action scene. It was like this girl will throw a punch. And just for that punch, imagine. Which you can imagine that a punch is no more than top three seconds, you know, throwing a punch in a scene.
Yeah, and that's
5 cuts for that. It's like, you fucking kidding me? Really? It's just ridiculous.
Now, I haven't seen the movie at all, but I mean, the most comparable thing I've seen lately to something that's like bad fighting, bad cuts, was Iron Fist. And
it wasn't that bad. yeah.
And really? So I asked him, I'm like, how comparable is this? And he goes, oh, it's worse.
Yeah,
it's
way worse.
And
yeah.
I'm like, what? Because, I mean, watching some of those scenes took me right out of Iron Fist. Yeah. So hearing that, I'm like, I am so glad I like bailed on all of this.
No, it's just terrible. And that's the reason, you know, caught my attention to, let's talk about this. Because now, what studio has Resident Evil? Universal?
Yeah, it's Universal.
So they announced they're going to reboot it right away. Like, they're already in plans and everything.
Oh, so stupid. So stupid.
So, in a way, I was thinking, like, why in the hell are you going to do that after this awful movie? But then, it gave me hope to... I'm just going to wait until they announce cast, directors, and all the people involved. Because it really... If you think about the movies, video games movie, and you start seeing, not on the actor side, because even Assassin's Creed have kind of like a solid cast.
Right.
It surprised me that they couldn't, that whoever was in charge couldn't like...
deliver.
Do something interesting out of it.
So I think what Hugo's trying to get at is, he's going to wait for the cast, but also to see the characters. Because the character in Resident Evil, if you're not familiar... the movie's at least focused on a girl named Alice, who's not really in the video games at all. So again, that's strike one as far as video game adaptations go. Yeah. And just like Assassin's Creed, it took a lot of the core mechanics of Abstergo, the company that has this machine that'll transport you back to your ancestors. But again, the main character from that series was a guy named Desmond.
Which is not there.
Yeah, he's not there. We had Michael Fassbender's character. Right. And then, so again, we get these weird video game. Hollywood likes to take these right. properties and then take like huge liberties with them. Yeah. And that never
pays
off. We're going to do it, but we're going to name like a few video game movies today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to show how, even if you are faithful to the material and it's still a bad movie, it's still a better movie than a shitty movie based on a video game that you loosely translated.
Right. But, that's what it brought me this topic. I was driving here. Like, yeah, I think we're going to talk about that. Because now that's the reboot of that movie, Resident Evil. And it seems like Assassin's Creed is going to keep going with the 2 and 3. And then Warcraft is for sure they're coming with a new one. Which, again, you know, it's so many opinions. For me, it was fine. That movie, Warcraft.
To me, the movie, I still haven't seen it. I feel like the movie, again, was fine. It's the process of making Warcraft. It was announced in, what, 2009?
Yeah.
And it came out in 2016.
Totally.
That's a six-year gestation from start to finish. That's way too long. Yeah. That's almost as long as the next Avatar sequel.
Yeah, I mean, it's been same thing, almost 10 years with the sequel and sequel. But I think that what happened with that project is James Cameron was so ambitious, but from my understanding is they're shooting all the movies right away
back to back.
I can understand why it's taking so long, but then again, it's kind of like video games. We're gonna, you know, next year and then next year and then next year, like Red Dead Redemption, now it's gonna come to 2018.
Really? They push it back. You know what? I'm kind of okay with that.
I'm okay with that because normally Rockstar do great things. So.
Right. Yeah. No, I wasn't disappointed with GTA. Right. And right now, too, most of my time anyway, I was really kind of concerned selfishly because Destiny comes out in September.
Right.
And then that would have come out in October.
Right.
So, yeah, exactly. One of them would have had to fall. And I love both series. And I can't cheat on it.
But yeah, so let's formally start with the topic.
Video game movies. So what do you want to do first? You want to do?
I think I want you and I expose our opinion on what is lacking these sort of franchises to success, because you know, even on a monetary level, like a finance level, some of them they actually make a lot of money.
Oh, they make a ton, but it still costs a ton to make. And that's
the problem.
That's the kicker, is that they cost so much to make and they make a ton that they usually just break even.
Right.
So it could have been a $20 million film that made only $20 million. It's that kind of failure. It was a $500 million movie and it only made $500 million.
Yeah.
That's not a success.
I think Warcraft was the only one that made like the double, but you know, because Chinese market. I mean, really, because it was so bad.
I like how we're gonna get nerdy in video game out. It's like a, it's like a video game perk. Oh yeah, but you got that China perk where you just double everything. Right?
But I mean, just because that market is avid for, especially they're like really big gamers on that.
They're huge gamers, and they've also been kept in the dark from American cinema for quite some time. Like, anything that they got would have had to have been brought over, like, via DVD or digital release versus an actual cinematic release, which they're super hungry for.
Yeah. They're just, what, like, I think 36 movies, like, foreign movies allowed to, you know, over the year, obviously. So all movies in Hollywood are fighting.
Yeah, I want my movie, yeah. So they want to appeal to the Chinese government, which is why, in case you've noticed, some more American films have, you know, showed like a partnership with the Chinese.
Right. Like the last one we watched. Oh, dang it. Name.
Wonder Woman?
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no. Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell. It was like these brick logos of, like, you never seen those companies at all in the movies. Like,
no, yeah.
And you can tell right away this Chinese or, you know, some Asian big house company.
Also, what was that movie? The Martian.
Oh, yeah.
Where they get the Chinese government to help them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to
me, if you're one of those people listening right now and not acknowledging that right now probably China, I feel like it's already surpassed the economy of U.S.
take a look at half the stuff in my room right here. Most of it comes from China.
Probably. No, but I mean, it used to be like that view of Chinese market. Like, oh yeah, they're the guys that do the knockoff or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like the cheap labor. But I mean, you go to Hong Kong and it's like this boom of high, like fine dining. And like I was watching, I think it was some of the Anthony Bourdain. Because I love Anthony Bourdain, by the way. No Reservations, I think, is something like that. And he was talking about how how big is booming Hong Kong the areas.
No, they are a huge superpower.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to be kind of stupid not to recognize it.
Right. But anyways, again, we're going around, but we come back. We always link all our madness in here. But I think one of the main problems of these franchises, and I think... it's kind of like coming back to the comic movies in the beginning.
Mm.
Just releasing all these material to people they don't, in the first place, they don't even know.
Right.
Because it's kind of like Mila Jovovich. Oh, yeah, play the game and whatever. Like, yeah, but just play it to, from a perspective of, I want to learn what it's about this thing instead of kind of like a comic being a key part of your life and having a significance more than... I'm having fun, you know?
Right. There's a difference between me, I want to be the Green Ranger because I love the Green Ranger. Right. And Power Rangers, everything. It's a core piece of my life.
Exactly.
So if I got the part, it would mean a whole lot to me.
Yeah.
Versus, and by the way, I'm not going out for that part. By the way, and so if somebody else did get the part, I know. If somebody else did get the part and they all of a sudden were like, no, I never watched Power Rangers growing up, but I watched it
right
now just to
kind of
research.
Doesn't have the same meaning.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. No. And you don't care about it in the same way.
Yeah.
I think your question was, what are these franchises lacking?
Yeah, but I think that's one of the parts, putting the studios, putting all these material to, like, I'm just going to give it to my neighbor because, you know, I know him and he's been doing some movies. And the fact that you've been doing movies doesn't mean that you're going to absorb the core meaning of these video games.
And so that's where you kind of have to draw the line in the sand with I'll draw a parallel to Marvel.
Yeah.
All done in-house.
Right.
Everybody, all their writers are people that are passionate about each project. Yeah. Most of the actors that they hire are really passionate about those parts. They understand it. Even, right. You know,
they want to be part of it.
Right.
They die to be. Like Samuel Jackson. It was so interesting to hear him when the reason he wanted to be Nick Fury. Because I think when he was a kid, he never realized it was first a white Nick Fury and then it came to black Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to be that guy because, you know, I look like him and I want to be that superhero. I want to be a black actor and super and character that has power and it's important to all the story.
And so I think, number one, a lack of passion in the people that are making the film. And don't mistake, like, passion for just technical work. Like, I love what I do versus, I love this material. Therefore, I'm going to give all my effort. I think another thing that's really missing, and I hit on it before, was staying somewhat true to the source material. Yeah. I was going through our list. I can't think of a single film that deviated from the source material and kind of made up its own thing that was more successful than what they planned for.
Right.
Because even things like Warcraft stay pretty true to the lore. Now, Warcraft is an interesting... adaptation because everybody gets to make their own character. Everybody gets their own experience. So therefore, nothing you really do does anything other than the history that was placed before you got there.
Right.
Which is what the movie is kind of doing. It's kind of like walking you through the horde, walking you through the ogres.
Which for me was kind of... I mean, I play Warcraft a little bit, but a long time ago. I mean... bulky PCs, you remember those.
So we're talking about literally...
Don't tell me that you don't remember those computers because, you know, they were there.
We're talking about the actual Warcraft, not the world of Warcraft. We're talking about just Warcraft, Warcraft. The point-and-click, real-time strategy game.
That's what I remember from that game.
But again, with that game, if you dug deep enough, you found the lore of that game, you fell in love with the characters and the races. Blizzard always does a fantastic job with their core game. And they stayed really true to that in the movie, which is why I think even really big fans who were just like, it wasn't what I was expecting. That's the other problem, is scope.
Yeah.
You have to adapt the right kind of movie, because if you pick something as heavy as Warcraft, it's never going to appease everybody, even if you put all this passion.
Like you say, like, how many years has been running this game? There's so many little stories here and there.
I want to say, like, Blizzard has been on Warcraft since, like, the early 90s. Yeah, or mid-90s, where it was just, like, they were building it. So to me, yeah, it was when they deviate. So Resident Evil is a prime example of new character, new storyline. It just changes the lore completely. All it uses is literally the name, yeah, the Umbrella Corporation.
And then when they spit you in the face, when they show you, oh, we have like the characters for like 10 minutes and then they disappear.
Right, yeah. And that was brought in because they got so much backlash. But yeah, so the real characters in Resident Evil are like Chris Redfield.
Leon S. Kennedy.
Yeah, so Claire, these are characters that, yeah, you play as. Exactly. Everybody does. So Hugo and I can't customize our own character like World of Warcraft. Right. We are all statically these characters throughout different chapters of the story. And you kind of grow to really respect or loathe certain characters. So when they're not in the movie, you feel cheated.
Yep, totally.
Another example of like the opposite end, like Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
There was that movie, 2009. Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah. So it was not completely
crap, yeah,
faithful, but it wasn't crap because it, again, stuck to the premise, sands of time. It held the same sort of mechanic.
Right.
Because the whole mechanic in the game is if you fuck up, you push a button on your controller and you can rewind time through the sands of time. Right. Something very similar happened in the movie, obviously, because the media changed.
Yeah.
You know, where it was more of like a, I guess, like a device for your gameplay. Now you can only use it a few times in the actual movie to have it make sense. It worked great.
Right.
It got pretty favorable reviews. It didn't make enough return. It made great money. It actually used to sit at the top before Warcraft, sit at the top of the box office for video game movies.
Right, right.
At the highest review, and then. But again, it didn't surpass the amount that was like quite spent on it. It like barely broke even. So therefore, they dropped it.
Yeah, totally. And I think it came also a bad time because...
That was the recession.
It was the recession. And how long it was being like the... What was that movie with Dwayne Johnson? The Scorpion King? Which was also bad. So somehow I think people also relate those two movies. They're similar like in looks and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, but I mean, The Scorpion King came out, what, 2001? Okay. And then it's all those other, but that's like 8 years, and then it had like five sequels. Did you know it had like five sequels?
Yeah.
And it, really? But again, all of them were like direct
to... Worse and worse.
Some of them are prequels, some of them are like... Yeah, like, so either way, they're all direct to TV movies, but I get what you're saying, that it was really kind of aesthetically similar.
Yeah, I mean... I think the plot wasn't quite enough, and the humor is that kind of humor is kind of dumb. That's the reason I related to The Scorpion King because so many jokes that are kind of like the same, super stupid. And like this guy is kind of like the typical
Alfred Molina's character, the ostrich guy, I really didn't care for.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird. Jake Gyllenhaal also, like, it was a waste. He's such a great actor. But, yeah, hopefully, I think that franchise has a lot of potential. Just they need to
put it's dead in the water. They're not going to touch it again.
Yeah.
Then you have something that also stayed really true, which was Tomb Raider.
I dig those movies. Well, besides my big crush when I was a teenager.
On Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, but overall, they were fine. I mean,
for the time they came out and what they were. Yeah.
Angelina was at her prime, or
she
when
was.
She started, like, you know, being well.
She was hitting that peak. She was hitting her high stride.
Especially
at that point.
Those on purpose slow mo bouncing boob scenes, you know, just for kids to get kind of like, oh, my leg is numb. But yeah, I mean, I think those were like the kind of first good attempts to those movies.
Right, and then that's where I was hitting a point as far as like this, the scope and the scale of the property you're trying to adapt.
Right.
Something like Tomb Raider, it's a self-contained story that doesn't quite build off of it. It's almost what the creators wanted was a female Indiana Jones, basically.
Exactly.
Because the kids love Indiana Jones, but they're not going to sit there and watch Indiana Jones polygon-like form.
Yeah.
They would watch a girl, though. a scantily clad girl.
Polygon boobs.
And that was like
the most thing you will watch at that age.
Most action.
Oh, turn around. Wait. Just freeze there.
They just stay right there, man.
Yeah.
And so it was great marketing on their part. But again, it's just like Indiana Jones. They're all self-contained stories. Yeah. They don't really build off the lore, but they always give you something entertaining and exciting to have. So when you translate that into a movie, it works because it doesn't have to
rest
on like big lore for your continuity.
And years of like remakes and remades. Like Resident Evil is like now it's 7 games.
Right.
And it's hard to condense all those stories just to one movie.
Exactly, because certain characters go in and out of certain ones. Like in number 6, you never see like half the main cast.
Right.
And everybody just kind of accepts that.
Yeah.
So something like Tomb Raider, it's a perfect film to kind of adapt. Same with Prince of Persia. There's not a whole lot of exposition you need to give in order for the audience to understand. Because like Hugo was saying, with the comic book movies, you're trying to appeal to a base that has no knowledge about your product.
Yeah.
Here is, and this is before Marvel's pop, here's Iron Man, a C-list Marvel roster character that we have.
Right, he wasn't the main. I mean,
everybody has seen Iron Man. You know of Iron Man, but you know nothing about Iron Man.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, at least on my time, it was the typical were Spider-Man, maybe Wolverine, the X-Men.
Hulk.
You know, but the Hulk. But Iron Man, was kind of like in the back.
He was in the back, nobody really cared.
Not really interesting. That guy doesn't even have powers, you know? It's like just the guy with the armor.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really even know his name was like Tony Stark until like a video game where it was like a fighter, and my brother kept picking him.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, it would be Tony Stark, and then it'd be the Iron Man.
Well, I remember the cartoons. Do you ever watch them?
No.
They were kind of okay, actually.
But see, that's the thing, though. Like, you're trying to appeal to a base that has very, very select knowledge, and yet it blew up big because it was, A, a good movie.
Right.
B, people everywhere cared about it. C, it surprised a lot. And D, it did it in a way that brought you in, whether you knew everything about Tony Stark or nothing.
And also, all the cast had a good chemist. You know?
Yeah, good chemistry.
Downey Jr. What was the other girl?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Like everybody kind of mixed in really, really well.
Yeah.
And Favreau, which...
Oh, John Favreau.
Not my favorite director, per se, because I always call those directors kind of like the go-to if you want a solid movie. Like, he definitely knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's talented. But that's kind of like his market kind of thing.
Yeah.
And still, people can argue because he has some, like, small movies. They're kind of okay and passionate, but it's not like the mythical type of director, you know. Just go there, get the job
he'll
done.
Get your job done, and no more, that's no what less.
It's just like the Jungle Book. I think he did a good solid job.
So again
you put all these elements, people that know what they're doing. What was the other guy? I think the big guy is Joss Whedon, but now it's out and now it's in DC. That's the weird thing.
I think Joss Whedon gave us a wonderful, and you know, we'll save it for a different podcast, but I think he gave us a wonderful insight to the same reason why Edgar Wright quit Ant-Man and why he switched over to DC. I think Marvel's a little too controlling with what they want planned in some of their movies.
And at the same time, those are the guys that put the seed there to all now that all this thing.
Right. So again, it's that double-edged sword of the
the
weight and the scope that we were talking about earlier. But
I think video games need that. They're just Sweden.
I think
that's what they need.
And here's the thing: something like Warcraft has the biggest player base in the world. That's like sustained.
So
of course you'd want biggest player base equals biggest amount of people in the seats.
Right.
But again, you have to look at the scope. That was a horrible movie to try and adapt into. I mean, a horror game to try and adapt because it's not self-contained. It's not laid out at all.
So many characters, too.
Right, and so if
besides what you create, because what I think is kind of like, what I imagine now, it's kind of like Destiny. You made your own character, but also it's like main story, and you interact with those same guys.
Right.
There are main characters plus everything else that... It's around, so yeah, it's kind of big.
Right, so if it was ever adapted, everything that you did doesn't matter. It just happened without you there.
Right.
But I would say another one, I mean, you brought it up, I'll say it, another one that was brought up really well, at least for the time it was at, right, and with the source material that I have, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I mean, it was simple, just a bunch of guys, kick-ass action scenes, which, I mean, they also had their flaws on the action part, like some action, but it still was like, it's like the smart part of whoever was in charge to, what is about this freaking game they were playing? Oh yeah, no shit. Just violence, kicking, you know, and punching and
everything. I want to compare it to its actual rival, which is like Street Fighter, which also had a film adaptation. So here's the difference between the two. Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, when you look at the gameplay, it's the same thing. It's you pick a character. Yeah. Google picks a character. I pick a character. Unless, whoever we want to downkick be with.
Yeah.
And we play, we fight, we win. We can be a little bit more brutal in Mortal Kombat. Yeah. But again, that's it. Next.
That's the core. Yeah.
That's it. And then we go back to the select menu. There's no real story, and if there is story, it's just like this weird text on the screen.
It's getting more complex over the years, but
more. But at the time, it was developed into a movie,
it was like these little, not even cinematics, just animation.
Yeah, it was like
Ryu come back to his town and train more. I don't know why if I already win, but
right. So we got
that's it.
We got like a text epilogue of what it was, and same with Mortal Kombat. The only difference was Mortal Kombat said this is a tournament,
right?
Which most fighting games are. It wasn't anything special, but it was for the fate of the realm.
Yeah.
Either way, they were like, cool, let's run with this. We'll have some of the more normal fighters go against some of these more evil-looking fighters in the movie. Shang Kong will be there. But they took all these characters, gave them full backgrounds, and said, had at it. It was totally campy.
Yeah. And they never taking themselves so serious.
No.
Besides Street Fighter sometimes feel like these guys are trying really hard when they shouldn't.
And that's the difference is when Street Fighter came to a movie, they didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. And so they made it this big action movie about, you know, like the America versus Russia.
Right.
And we had Jean-Claude Van Damme being the all-American boy. So that accent.
What was that? What was, I forget.
His name was like Christopher something or other. And he was playing Bison.
No, it's damn it! It's Mr. Adams, the Adam family.
Oh yeah.
Ezra School or something like that. I'm gonna look at it because it's gonna be bad. That guy. That was the only good part of that movie, at least for me. Let me see. IMDb, save me.
He's gonna look it up. I'll keep entertaining you. So the reason that movie fell too is exactly like Hugo said. It tried. It was funny at times, but it took itself way too seriously.
And then changing the protagonist. Guile never was the protagonist of the Street Fighter.
No,
never.
But they made him.
Well, yeah, and even they pushed that on the animated series.
And so what happened was you got, and this goes completely contrary to what I was saying about the source material. They stayed fairly true to the source material, but there was just no passion in it. There was no focus.
Raul Julia. Yeah.
Okay.
That guy was like the best part of, at least for me, from Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he understood, like, okay, this shit is not real. So what I'm going to do, what you can do in those situations where, you know, it's obviously it's like a fun movie and just to have a good,
you just use
go levels over the top.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It's exactly, you know?
And he did it masterful, but everybody else, like you and Van Damme, he was doing all these looks and like looking.
It's just super serious. Like it was it was like a normal actions movie. Like I'm going off to war. And to me, it failed miserably at the box office. It failed miserably with critics, and worst off, it failed miserably with fans. Yeah. So again, that's your pinnacle of like,
and of then
staying true to the source material. And somewhat scope, but no focus. It falls apart.
And then the other part, that they made a mistake that I think Mortal Kombat have the edge on it. They took the fun of... What is the most fun about these games? Do the special move. And look, this...
Right.
Mortal Kombat has it. Street Fighter, they somehow try, but...
They did, but it came off really cheesy versus when Mortal Kombat, when Johnny Cage has to fight Scorpion in his realm, and he's like, get over here.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh my God, you see
it. Even with the horrible CGI, but watching that thing come out of his,
it
came out, and you were like, oh, he's going to get him.
Yep.
It was so awesome as a kid. I think I was maybe fourth grade watching this, like freaking out in my head.
Yeah.
And it was glorious to watch it on the big screen.
Yeah.
I
mean, probably these days doesn't.
Oh no!
It didn't age that great, but at the time it was
really
like, dang.
Now again, what happened with the sequel is same thing with Street Fighter. It took itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
All the fun was too bloated, not enough. And then it went all crazy with like a beast mode and they transformed into...
They have it in the video game, but yeah, it's like when you try to chew too much.
Yeah, they took too much of a
like,
big bite.
Yeah. Oh, let's push all these like technology things. And, yeah,
it was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah. Still, when you're a kid, I still want to watch it. I was like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But now if I watch them both, yeah, the first one, definitely, it's way better.
I think as a kid, too. Again, spoilers for all of these things, yeah, guys. Yeah. I remember as a kid going in the second one and, like, Johnny Cage just dying within the first like, 2 seconds.
And not even, like a big fight. It's like, oh, grab it. And then...
Break your back.
Break your neck. Dude, this guy is the one that won the last tournament. Why he's dying so fast?
Right. And I guess to make a point, but, like, really... Why you gotta kill him off? One of the main guys that I actually really liked because he kind of brought some humor to everything. And then they changed out my crush at the time, which was Sonya Blade. Whatever her name was, she was in a bunch of movies in the 90s. She was in the first one.
Remember.
Then they changed her out in the second one. I'm like, don't want.
Also, Raiden, the character changed.
Oh, yeah, they changed him too, yeah.
Yeah, which I like in the first one better.
Yeah, I did too. A little bit more
the haircut. Yeah, just they made so many changes. It was too much.
So, we're going to go on the opposite end of the spectrum of, like, the absolute worst. I want you to pick your absolute worst. I have my absolute worst. If you want me to go first, I can. I've got it right here.
Yeah, go first.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Bob Hopkins and my all-time favorite actor, John Leguizamo, in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm talking it lost everything. All my points that I've been making so far as lore, scope, focus, and staying true to your source material, it crumbled all of that up and threw it away. And it single-handedly is the only reason Nintendo does not license any of its properties to any kind of movie studios. The head of Nintendo at the time was talked into it, told it was going to be a great idea. It was at the height of Mario popularity. Right. This movie was about two Italian brothers who were plumbers. Okay, so we're on the right
like
track.
Sort of like a super cheap Blade Runner setup because they tried to recreate like that.
Oh,
like, dude, you're trying to go to one of the best looking movies.
When I can go up to any of my colleagues who I work with who know absolutely shit about video games, and I can say, hey, Mario and the Mushroom Kingdom, what do you think of? What colors do you think of?
Yeah.
And they would say baby blues, bright yellows.
Everything is bright and cheerful.
Right. You think Mushroom Kingdom, you think of all these things. It's awesome. These guys cross over to the dinosaur universe, which is the equivalent, and they end up here, and it's this dark Blade Runner, like cars flying.
Not even well made, you know? It's
slime
just...
everywhere, fungus, because again, it's the Mushroom Kingdom, but they take it literally and make it the Fungus Kingdom, and there's like goo hanging off everywhere, and everything about the game kind of makes it really kind of characteristic and
sense.
Iconic. Everything that makes it iconic, they ripped out. It was like this shell of what it used to be. Like when a snake gets rid of everything, whatever it left behind, they were like, this is our movie. It had the worst people making Brooklyn accents.
Right.
The whole premise of the story. I mean, as a kid, you watch and you're like, it's Mario Brothers.
Right.
But even as a kid, I remember thinking like, I don't feel satisfied watching this.
It's disturbing to be Mario in this movie.
They talk about bombs, and they're like these tiny little wind-up things instead of like actual like walking bombs. So stupid. The big bad guy. If you think any bad guy for Mario, everybody
King
goes...
Koopa.
Well, everybody goes Bowser.
Oh, yeah,
but
Bowser.
In the movie, it's King Koopa.
Yeah, yeah.
King Koopa is just a turtle in the game.
Yeah.
But... apparently, he's the big bad guy played by... I don't remember who's the actor who plays him.
Well, it's kind of known. Well, let me see. But even the whole thing, like, reptile face, it was so weird.
The Goombas are reptiles?
Yeah.
I don't understand everything
so
that could have
been... freaking weird.
Oh, put a... Oh, yeah, by the way, who does Mario always rescue? Oh, Princess Peach. Oh, we have Princess Daisy. Before Princess Daisy was really, like, Princess Daisy.
Right.
It
was a big mess. And from what I understand, Like, the actors don't even knew what was going on. Like, when they received the script.
Bob Hopkins.
And everything.
Like, it was because there's two directors. It was a husband and wife that were going through a divorce towards the end of it. They hated it. They ran out of money. They went into huge debt, lied about a bunch of stuff. Constant rewrites for the film, which is why the third act is...
Yeah.
I wish I could make a supercut and put it on our website for everybody to just see, like, I'm Mario. That's my brother, Luigi. And then you just see the shit unfold. Honestly, if you're listening to our podcast, you probably have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it's well known that probably. This is one of the worst. I mean, and how you can screw it up with this cast? Bob Hoskins, Joan
Leguizamo.
Right. Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
They had Dennis Hopper. Some talent like that just... Yeah, you're gonna be like this.
And for some reason too, he was a germaphobe in the movie. He's like, ew, mammals. And he's like getting his hands cleansed, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you're not threatening at all. Samantha Mattis, Fisher Stevens, Richard Edson. Yeah, just dang, so bad.
But to have a high end, recognizable, iconic property like Super Mario Brothers fail so spectacularly. To the point where that company goes, nope, never again. And they shut their doors. And they have been shut since like 1992, 1993 is when that movie came out. 1993.
It's kind of like, I will say, the equivalent of that E.T. video game thing. Mm-hmm. They just want to bear that memory, like pretend it never happened.
It never happened. But again, the movie, again, super serious. Like, not funny really at all. Like, super gritty and dark. Ended on a note that has kept me on my toes my entire adult life, where Daisy comes in to their apartment at the very end after they've saved the kingdom and stuff and returned, you know, the King Fungus back to his rightful throne. I'm not making this up. So everything's happy, and then they're back in their Brooklyn home, and then Daisy kicks down the door in their super suits, like their jump suits is what they were, but it was like purple. And she's like, I need your help. She has a big fucking torch gun. And they're like, all right. And so you're like, okay, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
No, it's literally 24 years later, and I still don't have an answer to this question.
Right. And you're not going to have it probably at all.
If I ever meet those people, I'm going to beat them bloody until they tell me what they were planning. Like, that's the question that'll keep me up at night. Yeah. Because it was so horrible, and they left it wide open like that? No.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's just awful. I think the only way I will watch in the future, a Mario movie, maybe an animated one, like an animation one, that will be the only reason, like, okay, here's a way to improve this. And I think that's where it fits. I kind of like the Resident Evil animated movies. I like more that, all that saga. They, you know, follow the video game lines.
Again,
in animation, they have more stuff. Yeah,
staying true to your source material is so important.
Well, you share your worst.
What about you? What is your worst video game movie adaptation?
House of the Dead, hands down.
House of the Dead.
Do you have it?
October 10th, 2003. I can honestly say I have never seen this.
Don't see it. It's stupid. Ridiculous. Is this director, I forget his name, Hole or something? David Hole or something like that?
It is Ubo.
Oh, fuck you, Ubo. You should be ashamed for filmmaking. I mean, really, if I ever make a movie just that bad, that right there is like, all right, I retired. I sucked.
It cost $12 million to make and only made $13.8 million. And that's what we're talking about.
That's generous for that movie. I mean, it shouldn't be make not even a million. It's just that bad. It's just like bland characters, stupid action scenes. It was by the time where Matrix came, so everybody was ripping off that freeze time. Like, poor me. Like, oh, man. Just watching the trailer. You don't need to even watch the movie. Just watch the trailer. And it's like, dude. I don't even know that this thing exists.
So we'll put the trailer up on our Facebook page so you guys can kind of see. Backtracking a little bit, do you know the budget for the Super Mario Brothers movie was $48 million? Do you know how much it actually made?
At that time, yeah.
How much do you think it made?
Oh, no, no. I don't know. 20?
20.9 million. Yeah. It severely did not come close. 40
million? Like, I mean, maybe for the young audiences listening to this, which you shouldn't be that young because of the explicit tag in this podcast.
Hmm.
And if not, well, just don't tell your parents. 40 million by that time, it was like ton shit of money.
Yeah, it was 58 million.
It was a lot of money for
only 20.8 million is what it made back.
Big failure. It's kind of like if Marvel puts $300 million today and they just make 100. It's just so bad.
So yours was House of the Dead.
Yeah, because even when Mario is that, I think they're at the same level, to be honest, on mediocrity and nonsense. Not even, it's just, even if you forget about the plot of the video game, just if you see it as standalone movie, it's like the worst of the worst.
Right. No, it's even worse if you watch it without being a fan of those series.
Exactly. At least with the Mario, like, all right, has the Mario in there, whatever. But it's just, especially House of the Dead, how you make a game out of, because those video games really doesn't have a plot.
It's those arcade games. It's those arcade games that you find actually in the movie theaters, ironically enough.
Shooting.
They're called rail shooters, where you don't get to move left or right. All you get is a gun, and like a 3D gun, and just, you know, you get to shoot the light screen, and it kills the things, shoot off screen, reload.
But again, like, doesn't have a lot of story, but yes and no. But again, it was zombies, and then they have some kind of iconic characters a little bit, like kind of Resident Evil, like these big, and this movie, like, they say, like, fuck off, let's put a rave on an island with a bunch of young people, and then out of nowhere, this monster comes to haunt them. In a house, of course, in the middle of an island where apparently nobody wants to go, but then they go. Like, nobody, like, they start asking for, like, boats. Hey, you can take me to that island. And, of course, the one to take them is the old creepy guy in this creepy, like, boat. And Sega is sponsoring this in the middle.
I've never seen this, and I don't want to. This sounds absolutely terrible.
Probably just want to watch it. At least, I recommend it. Just watch it once. Just so you can crack up at every scene and stuff that happened on screen.
Ugh.
Just that's the only, like, if you want to have a ridiculous, like, night watching something so awful that it's fun to watch, like, how in the hell the director say, like, oh yeah, this fucking thing is awesome. Yeah, good job, guys. Like, I will be super concerned. But again.
Do you want to know what the lowest rated video game movie is?
Go ahead.
The lowest rated one out of all of them, with a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap. I lost. There it is. It is Alone in the Dark.
Which I think was the same director, Hubel. I'm not sure. That guy also did Far Cry movie, which is
is Hubel?
That guy, like, I think one time he couldn't deal with the heat of social media. I think now officially he retired from filmmaking.
1%. That came out around the same time that I saw another one of my, like, biggest, like, what the fuck moments in it was Silent Hill.
Oh yeah.
And it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't as bad as Alone in the Dark. Believe
me. No, it wasn't bad at all.
I enjoyed that movie a little bit, but yeah.
It gave you about as much exposition as the games do.
Right, right.
You just end up in a big foggy town, piece it together. So again, I can't hate on it that much. But
still, it was, like, weird.
So there are a lot of games, and you can have your own. Always base it on, you know, like, it's on the things that we've been talking about, which is your ability to adapt.
Right.
The source material, your focus, your passion.
Yeah.
And if it's failing on those three fronts, you know your movie's not going to do well. If it's failing on one of those fronts, your movie is going to barely break even. It has to be like it's just a home run.
And at least for me, I think also it's a fault of the big studios to not trust people enough. Like, you're going to make one of these franchises, choose somebody that is somehow attached first and it's good. Like, he's a director already proved on the big leagues. And then just give him the total freedom to come up with something amazing. That's what I feel. Every movie feels like that.
to me, what is it? Ubisoft partnered with their company. They were partners on it, and right. Assassin's Creed still came up kind of short. I mean, yeah. It kind of gives credence to doing its own thing, since, you know, it's basically yeah. just your ancestors and stuff. But again, right. it's something nobody really recognized, and they didn't get the part of the video game that was fun, which is playing
yeah,
as your ancestor.
Pastime. Yeah, exactly.
Not sitting in the like Abstergo Labs.
Two scenes. Yeah, that's it.
So, I mean, out of everything that's kind of like come out, nothing has really done well. I mean, when I think of one video game movie that should have blown exactly. the box office wide open, it would have been the Angry Birds movie.
It was fun. To
it was
be honest.
Fun. Yeah. however, it didn't. It broke even. It was just okay, and that's the problem we're talking about.
Yeah, I think they also choose the wrong time. To be honest, like, they choose to make the movie when the game already was.
Oh yeah, it was already like so far down. Yeah. Had it been made 2 years earlier, three years earlier,
still work a lot. Yeah.
But again, another failure.
Yeah.
It wasn't that it was horrible.
But I think the premise of like, oh yeah, they're making this movie out of this stupid video game, I think hurt them kind of a lot.
So,
I mean, yeah, most of them are terrible.
Looking forward, we have the brand new Tomb Raider remake. So again, Tomb Raider was in our good column.
Some hope, yeah.
I actually really like the actress.
Yeah, exactly.
She was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoy her, and I personally enjoy the new take of Lara Croft from the game. She's a little bit more vulnerable, less yeah. badass, more resourceful.
Yeah, more like a normal body for a woman, not like this Pamela Anderson type.
Pamela Anderson tits with freaking guns.
Right.
So to see her embody that same Lara Croft that we're getting in the remake of the games, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
And
I would say that these last Tomb Raider games has a more depth on the story.
Right.
It's going to help a lot, hopefully, to the script that they made for the movie.
I'm hoping so, too. Another one that kind of surprised me. I don't know if you ever remember playing it, but Rampage.
Yeah, this is going to be Dwayne Johnson in it?
Yeah.
I feel it's going to be something like Pixel. They already was so hype, and then
Pixel, again, being attached to Adam Sandler, was never going to be... Yeah. Stellar at all.
Now that you mentioned the Peter Dinklage was the voice of the ghost in the beginning of Destiny.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Peter Dinklage at that movie being like, probably when he started seeing the scenes and stuff, like, what the fuck I'm doing here?
Right, yeah.
Can I have my check and just leave?
Right, don't associate me with this. Yeah. I'm all totally okay if you leave my names out of the big credits.
Yep.
Another one that we're getting that I'm kind of surprised about is... an untitled Sonic the Hedgehog film.
Yeah, they've been talking about quite a while for it.
But again, it's exactly like what you're saying. The time to do this is not now. Sonic the Hedgehog has not had a successful game in a decade.
It's more like a cult following, to be honest.
And people who buy those games don't really like them. My buddy, John, his name is John C. Hall. Yeah. He'll be in here probably in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Is a diehard Sonic fan, picks them all up, hates 98% of them, but still pays his $60 when they come out to play them because he's a diehard fan. I don't understand, but this is not the time to release a Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
And it will be interesting. Is it going to be a live action or animated? I think the best bet is doing an animated one, but yeah, you never know. I mean, Mario happened.
They've got 1 year to figure it out. It's got a 2018 release. Also, Minecraft.
I can see that.
No, the Minecraft movie
has a more solid base, though. It's more broad audience.
And this is kind of like the Angry Birds thing. We're at the time where Minecraft is kind of slowly kind of fading back from being the juggernaut that it was. I mean, it's still big. Don't get me wrong. It's still big, but it's not the juggernaut that it once was. The best time would have been about 2 years ago. It's slowly hitting a decline. Not a big one, but if you put that out, hopefully before this falls... Mm. Has a potential to be something big because, again, story, lore, and focus are three things that are absent from the game of Minecraft. You literally can do whatever the hell you want.
It's kind of like that Telltale. Probably they're going to focus on the Telltale game.
Like version of it where you can have these characters in there and do whatever you want with it because really you can. And again, as long as you have a good, solid story.
Yeah, but I mean, the game by itself, the premise, you survive. That's it. Well, it has different modes, but well-known one is you show up in the world and try to survive and create things.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to be... That movie is going to be based on the Telltale.
Yeah. No, I mean, it might...
Because it has some more substantial characters.
More substantial. Even if it's not based on it, it will be exactly like that, I believe. I believe you are correct.
And again, hopefully it's animated because I don't see a live-action Minecraft movie. Can you imagine? But I don't know anymore.
No, I don't. And to be honest, that would be it. I wouldn't put it past Hollywood, though. That would be a totally wrong move to do that.
Be that innocent. But.
So the other one is actually Angry Birds 2. We're getting a sequel.
I guess they make the money back.
Right. They made the money back, but still, I mean...
Wasn't that big.
Nope. But again, why now? It's not like we had another Angry Birds game come out in the past 2 years.
You know what? One of the movies we weren't talking yet, it's been like the first Final Fantasy. For some reason, I love that movie a lot, and so many people bash it so bad.
But again, it only
the
had...
The Phantom something.
The Phantom... Is it Phantom Pain? No, that's Metal Gear Solid. But you're right. It's Phantom.
But the premise, because that was the good example, like, all right.
If you're going to take liberties.
Right. They brought a new sort of story to explain what was the deal. The Spirit Within, not even close, but you know, Ghost Spirit, whatever.
Phantom.
But I liked that movie, and I like the Final Fantasy VII Children of Tomorrow or something.
Advent Children.
Oh yeah, that was good too.
But again,
and because I'm not, and I'm talking from a standpoint of not being a big fan of the. I played the game some here and there, but never been, hardcore fan.
I'm the same way, but again, what you get out of the Final Fantasy games is a big, giant world, but none of those worlds are ever really connected, so to speak.
Right.
You're always brought into a new place, a new thing. The only small things like their mascot, like a chocobo, like a little chicken thing, that'll stay throughout all of them.
Right.
Certain characters that are just named the same will be in there, but it's little nuances like that. Other than that, each game is completely different with nothing really connecting one to the other. No sequel per se. So the Spirit Within had the ability to do that, and it did a fairly good job.
I think what happened is a lot of people, like you say, it was that awkward time when they were experimenting with these video games movies, and people were half like, I don't care, half I don't know what it's about, this story you're telling me, because you're not invested or you don't have a clue of the games.
Right.
I think that's the reason it didn't work as well. But I think it's one of those movies that slowly is like, a lot of people's liking it a lot. And what else? You know what I've been noticed a lot, and I'm excited about all this mess with video. The part that I like that's not working, the video game stuff. All the liberties that people take on YouTube and do amazing stuff. Like that Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah, it was so great, and they finally give him to do a second season. Like they're like short, like almost 10 minute episodes,
but I like those
way better than all the movies and stuff.
But again, they understand too that Mortal Kombat doesn't have to be a movie, nor does it have to be long. It's actually better in shorter spurts.
Yeah,
you get exactly what you want from it, made from a passionate fan base.
Exactly,
and you get what you need. You need to bring those people up to the big leagues to see what they can do.
Actually, the same guy, I think now it's not LinkedIn anymore, but that same guy that did the little short, episodes. They signed it for a whole movie, which now it's
in production.
Yeah, but that guy is not there anymore, which is like, come on.
I'm sure he got absolutely just chewed up and spit out by the machine.
Yep, pretty much.
One of the last ones I wanted to talk about was actually from Nintendo, because we went on this big spiel for Super Mario. Nintendo is finally, like we said, after 20 some odd years, 24 years, has finally opened their doors again. And they are making their first Nintendo property movie. And out of all the things that they chose to make... Now, I'm super happy on the property, which is Pokemon. Yeah. I am so dumbfoundedly shocked that it's Detective Pikachu.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with Pokemon at all. It's... Let's take the best mascot we have, which has a higher branding right now than Mario.
Right.
And take him out of the Pokemon world and give him his own little detective agency.
Yeah.
And it's going to be live action. Yeah. I am not.
I would rather have the original, like, Ash Ketchum.
Ash Ketchum and having... Even if you don't give me Ash Ketchum, because, I mean, only only in the anime has it been that protagonist.
Right.
In the games...
They're different.
It's different kids each time, and you get to name them whatever you want, but it's right. either red, or it's blue, or like it's penis. Gold, or silver.
You're my first enemy is called penis.
What kid hasn't
I know that you did that, though.
Oops.
But
again, yeah, so they took this big thing. When I heard them announce that it's a Pokemon property, I was like, oh my god, are we really getting a Pokemon movie?
Yeah.
Detective Pikachu. The only way this gets saved, and there's a huge petition for it, is if Danny DeVito is playing the voice of Detective Pikachu. Because in this version, Pikachu's going to talk English or Japanese or whatever it is.
So he's Danny speaking. DeVito.
And somebody actually has. I'm going to send it to Hugo so he's putting this on there. Where they super cut Danny DeVito's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia stuff into Detective Pikachu. Because they have a trailer for the game. Because there was a game in Japan. Only in Japan.
Right. And I remember that's the only reason... That name rang a bell in my brain is because it was a game exclusive for Asia.
Yeah, and so when they did this, you know, and it shows Pikachu turning around, like, kind of scowling but yelling at something, and Danny DeVito's voice is like, "Where's the ham?" And you're like, oh, my God, they this work. Makes so much sense. If it, no Danny DeVito, it's a no-go. Yeah. I don't know. To me...
Nintendo.
Exactly. Who the hell is running that ship?
Who the hell signed with Nintendo to do that shit?
Switch. Here's the Switch. Isn't that the Wii U? No, this one comes apart.
Yeah, kind of.
Brilliant. Yeah,
it's like that thing with Nintendo, and I know we're. It's related. This is video games. They trying like you think like oh they did a like 5 steps and then they take 10 back on the same time. It's like how in the hell you do that?
Right.
Like if you have the technology right now with the animation, green screen, and everything. Like imagine like. Fucking big Charizard well made on like animation.
Right.
I will dig that. Like a battle between Pokemon stuff.
I would completely dig it. I would totally be there.
Why you don't do that, man? Like you have everything.
Because they don't want to.
Yeah.
Because again, they're a kid that has all the toys that wants to share none of them. But you get to look at them through his window.
Right.
That's what I feel like Nintendo is.
Yeah.
I had...
Well, if... Switch doesn't work, they're gonna need to open those windows to other people to play with those toys because
they're running out of money here.
Yeah, it's get bad.
I had a point. Fuck. There was something else about, like, I was thinking, like, I don't want to shit on Nintendo. Like, that's what it was. No company so far, Xbox, Sony, nobody's really figured out this formula.
Yeah.
Right now, I truly do believe we're trying to fit a square peg through a round hole. I don't think that movies are the right media for video games. I really don't. As much as I want it to be, and I really want to push this square thing through the circle hole, I don't think it's ever going to work. I think that it's more television, more Netflix-oriented, more like miniseries-based type things. I think that's what we're more suited for. I would love... One of my big things, and I got super excited. It was fake news, though.
Right.
I got super excited for the Legend of Zelda miniseries that they were going to put on Netflix. Mm. They were saying it was going to be like Game of Thrones, because there is a lot of lore with Zelda. And I was thinking, like, this is better than any movie idea you could possibly think up.
Right.
Having 8 to 13 episodes on Netflix, just a clean run for season 1, it would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And then it turned out like Nintendo came forward like a few days later and they're like, no, we have no idea what the hell this is about. This is not us.
Yeah.
I don't think movies are the right media technically for adapting video game movies.
I will say it will depend on the video game.
Right.
It's just like the comics. They lift the more super deep and complex stories on the TV format. And they work. You know? And I think that's the thing you need to happen.
Well, it's
something
strength.
Like Microsoft, which actually Microsoft, it's like since they debuted the Xbox One, never hear about that Steven Spielberg Halo project that they had.
It was also the Peter Jackson Halo after that. And then Denzel Washington was attached to it. Yeah, you don't hear about it.
Right, because but that's what I feel like it need to happen. Like Microsoft, like, let's, you know, fuck it, let's self-funded our projects. And who better know the material than them, you know, to
make... But you know what did do well was that Halo Forward Until Dawn. And that was a live-action Halo series. It did fairly well for being exclusive to, like, Xbox streaming and stuff. But, I mean, it was fun to watch, and it was...
It was more fun, the anime ones.
Yeah.
I have more fun than those.
I don't know. To me, when I think of it, and you're going to ask me, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, which is, like, what is the best property, then, you think would have been translated into a single film? No franchise, a single film from a video game to a movie. Because if I'm going to fit this square peg in the round hole, I've got to make it circle. I've got to make it just, it's a one-off. Because when you make it these series, we run into problems. Too much. So what series? I'll go first. For me, it's Bioshock. You could pick Bioshock or Bioshock Infinite, whatever one you want. Both of those stories, completely self-contained. They're really streamlined.
Right.
It's about... In, it's about the visual representation of what you're getting and who's around you, and then the underlying themes that you have. That video game is so deep, and the way that it was played, at least for me, it was so cinematic.
Yeah.
That to translate that to film would be just, I would eat up every fucking second. If it was faithfully translated, nothing interpreted differently, nothing, no liberties taken, it is what it is.
It is, yeah.
Totally, hands down, believe that that would go down as like a nice, because I don't even think of Bioshock as a video game. I think of it as like a piece of art.
Right.
The way both of those games played out and totally fucked with my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, there are so many. I mean, we're talking about Halo, and really, if you just take the first one, they can totally make an action movie out of it. I mean, they already make so many of like spaceship action movies.
Right, Space Marines.
It could be like the equivalent. I mean, don't get disrespect. Don't jump out of your chair. I'm not trying to compare these two things at the same level, but I feel like it can happen sort of in the same path with Halo and Star Wars in a way. You know, like this military hero guy on the space. I mean, I can totally see you. Just because, like we talk, this is just a limited story if you think about it. The Master Chief, the first game at least.
Yeah.
And then they have the joke of the other ones, which I don't know. Since the third one, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They're standing the story of this Master Chief guy. But at least if I think, like, all right, I'm going to make a movie of the first game, I think it's doable. And the resources are there, technologically talking, like animation, green screen,
to
come all that stuff live, you know. I mean, I feel like, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Probably I will enjoy maybe better like the TV media where they expand the story and they don't cram too much things. But under the right circumstances, I feel like they can make good movies. Just they're lazy, they don't care. They still do experimenting. That's what I feel. Like, oh, let's throw this bone and see how much we can get out of this.
That, or they choose to cheese it up and give us like an experimental film technique in it, like let's make this 3D,
which that was the value I gave him to all the Resident Evils for the most part.
Yeah,
but this last one not even that good. Super fast cut, so you can like, you have epilepsy attacks. It feels like if somebody tell me like an epilepsy attack, that's what I imagine, all these fast cuts, you know, happening and like having the attack. Sorry for everybody, somebody deal with that. I know it's not like the most fun, but at least in my brain, that's what the image it comes. All these fast cuts and like lighting speed.
Your brain can't process what's being given to it.
Exactly. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But hopefully they're going to pick up the right person to start. They're just winning. I think that's the other main problems. The big difference of game franchise to comic franchise is just, so far we know they're Marvel, DC, and they control a lot of these big universes. Besides video games, there are so many studios, so many stories. It's not like they can link that easily.
I also think a huge factor too is characterization. I just was thinking about this. Video game characters, believe it or not, don't really have too many outstanding characteristics. They're blank slates almost. They make decisions and they sometimes say funny things. Very rarely will you find a real human character in the person you're playing, because it's not going to be believable if you're some sarcastic asshole, but you, the player, when you gain control after the cutscene, are always altruistic and helping people. It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's better if an NPC is that way, but the main character, like Master Chief, is a blank slate.
Or
he says things like this, like, all right, let's move.
And it, you can't tell what race he is. You can't tell what he's doing. He's never excited. He never says anything funny.
Right.
Very, very just flat. So when you try to translate that in a scene, people don't respond to it the same way. And they say, oh, you changed Master Chief. Well, you left him the way he was.
Yeah. I mean, the actor is just going to grab the little bits and pieces and try to come out with something.
Well, yeah, otherwise he's going to be a stiff piece of cardboard. It's so hard. That's why I think BioShock for me was in.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a character there.
Yeah.
I play these things, but the game forces me to do things that fit with the character.
Right, right.
And I can't ever really do what I technically want to do. I have to play along with the game and with the situation in which I'm in. I can make small choices here and there for my Booker DeWitt, but that's about it. And the same thing with like The Last of Us.
That's what I was
You get real characterization and you do
so
things.
So much richness in those characters.
That would be a great movie.
That, I think that's what I'm hoping to happen and be the like the thing to start everything for video games. They were talking also of Uncharted, but then again, it's like
Tom Holland.
It's like I'm gonna see like a younger version of Indiana Jones. I don't know if I want to see.
And that's
what
I've always felt with the Nathan Drake saga is that it's just Indiana Jones. And
yeah, it's so just like a more cocky, younger version of that.
Right.
Which, I mean, I'm one of those persons that try not to say much until
the thing happens.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what it feels. I mean, if that's the vibe you get of the video games at the core, then it's going to translate to the movie.
Unless you change it completely, and then we've totally knocked off one of the legs that we need to stand on, which is liberties of your source material, which is a difference then again by comic books. You have real characters.
Yeah.
I don't need to really relate to Tony Stark.
And they have so many years, way more years than video games of story between all these volumes.
And there's different iterations
of
Tony Stark. There are different iterations of Thor and different iterations of Hulk versus the one iteration we have of Master Chief.
Right.
Really, and when you think about Master Chief, has he really grown since Halo 1 versus Halo 5?
He keeps having the same troubles, like battling. We don't even know who is behind that helmet.
And that's my problem, though. And I think that's some of the hurdles we have to overcome when we want to translate stuff.
Yeah.
Our main characters can't be
and
so
because
flat.
Because really, those video games are designed like that. So you can, in a way, this guy can be as bland that you can put your own personality, you know, even if it's on a superficial level. But then you put in that spot instead of they trying to put a character on you.
The best example is Link. From Legend of Zelda. He's completely silent. He never really speaks back.
Yeah.
Even when other characters speak. Now, again, they purposefully, even with...
speak on the Switch is like, aw, and then the text... it's not even like, you know...
But again, that's the thing. They intentionally have left a lot of the characters. Nobody speaks in the game. You just get the text. Yeah, they'll make a noise and a... and you'll get to read it because they want you to imprint everything.
Whatever you want.
Because then you are so immersed. Because when they have a voice... And when you've always read Princess Zelda's voice as that perfect woman's voice in your ears, and then she comes out talking like this, and you're like, what is this? No, that is not my Zelda. Mm-mm.
I have another thought about what she sounds, you know?
Right, yeah. And so it totally takes you out of the immersion. So I think that's another problem with translating is it never meets people's expectations.
Yeah, but I think I'm a firm believer, just like, I'm a believer. I hate that song so much, especially now that it's on the Switch commercial.
Oh, the Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. I have the hope that some, like you say, BioShock, The Last of Us, some games that are like considered almost like a masterpiece. They bring it up to movies, and they're gonna be the tip of the whole thing. Hopefully.
Yeah,
they have all the material there. So I think just for now, we're going to leave it there. It's obviously there's so much more to talk about video game movies. I mean, we just scratch sort of the surface. I mean, it's so many things that you can talk about. This, you can go over and over and over all the failures and little success here and there.
Yeah.
But I think we're just going to leave it until that for today. I think on the animosity of this podcast... we're going to do a recommendation, special recommendation of video games, either shows, movies, video games, or whatever. So because Chris is more involved in video games for the most part, I'm catching up, but he's going to make the honors.
Okay. So my recommendation, if you have not played Mass Effect Andromeda, I know last time I made the recommendation was for the multiplayer, very similar to Mass Effect 3. I'm right now going through the whole campaign of Andromeda. Actually really, I guess, refreshing.
Yeah.
Coming over from Destiny, which is like go to point A to point B to battle the boss at point C. I don't really like explore like I used to.
Yeah.
When I came to Destiny, I'd come from Mass Effect 3. So I was like, why can't I not look at everything? So to go back to Andromeda, the worlds are so big. I was really overwhelmed at first, but they've done a wonderful job. So don't believe a lot of the hype that's coming out of a lot of reviewers, which is like saying stuff like, oh, but the face textures. Oh, but the animations. Yeah, you get pop-ins every now and then, but a lot of the patches have fixed a lot of the glitches. It's a wonderful game. I'm loving the story so far. So my big recommendation is if you haven't picked up Andromeda, it should be on sale by now. Yeah. It's a wonderful little single-player game if you want to invest. Especially if you like the series but have sat on the fence. I've recommended it to a few friends and they've gotten it and they've loved it. So
now you think that will be a great movie?
From what I hear, they have been trying to put it into a movie form. Actually, because that game is so rich in its lore, it's going to be kind of heavy, but it's so easy to cut out all the excess fat. Because the whole pull of the game is every choice you make is going to matter for the next three games.
Right.
And in a movie, that's okay because all it is, you know, an invading alien army and you have to rally up the Galactic Union that you have. Would be actually really kind of cool. It'd be akin to Star Wars. If you enjoy watching Star Wars, that's all this is going to be. I actually could see it as a movie.
Yeah.
If done right.
Right.
And they choose to focus on the right stuff. Yeah, this would work totally. It's very focused in that regard. Although the second act, so the second game, story-wise, needed some work. And then the third game, the ending. I actually don't mind it.
Maybe because you're invested on the story, but
actually, I actually didn't quite enjoy it until somebody told me about the... You know, I'm not even going to talk about it. It was a different theory about the ending that I hadn't even thought of, and it just blew my mind. Again, I'm a huge twist guy.
Yeah.
And so it blew my mind. So I love it even more, and nobody's confirmed or denied it yet. Yeah. So I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
That really is
it. Hopefully. Yeah. And sometimes it's better to leave things like that. Let my thought be that.
And that's why I liked it just a little bit more. Yeah. It wasn't so black and white.
Right. I guess for me, a video game to... A good video game that can become a good potential movie, and maybe you're gonna think like, I don't know about that, but GTA, just think about it. The Fast and the Furious are successful. They can steal the good elements of that crap recently into kind of like it will be I don't know, I need to watch it, but remember maybe Driver, the trailer, that like humorous action scene, guess it could work like these, even the three main guys from GTA 5, you know, because they're fun.
Oh yeah, they're
like the
they're
three blessed. Guys are fun in so different, and blend them in a humoristic action type of heist movie. I think it will work. It will be successful, and GTA has a big ass following, like to the point that even parents know. They don't know what is the game, but if you mention GTA, oh yes, the game of, you know, like all the violence or whatever you want to add there.
That's a controversy. I do think that could translate. Because again, there's no...
No superpowers, no heavy lifting story.
Right, but yeah, there's no lore, there's no backstory. It's you literally, all you have to say is, this is Los Santos, this is our story, or this is the New York... I already forgot what it was.
That's what I'm telling you. Like, you just leave those three new characters...
Yeah.
And try to portray them as best they can exactly on the game. And just put them in this like crazy situation. I think it will work.
Nope. I totally agree with you. That is a wonderful suggestion.
Because, I mean, and especially if they don't take it so seriously, because those games never take so seriously. Really. Yeah. I mean, it's just fun.
I feel like it would have the same kind of humor as a lot of the 21 Jump Street or the Baywatch movie kind of has. Like, as far as that type of like weird, raunchy humor...
Hopefully not, but...
But you know what I mean, though, that it's more action-oriented, but not exactly to that genre, but to that kind of, like, banter, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. That the banter between the main characters is a little bit like that. But it's still GTA, very, very...
Like that interaction between the three. Yeah, totally, I can see that.
But again...
I think it will work if they don't take it so seriously. And Rockstar, like, is hot right now. It's probably the most or one of the best studios around.
It's the most consistent studio. Also, yeah.
Like, I think Rockstar and Bethesda right now, even when Bethesda is like skins over skins for these games, somehow it's like, yeah, I want to play their games. They're fun.
They're fun because they know their formula. They know what they want to do, and they can be engaging. And again, you have your Bethesda stuff, so you have like your Fallouts.
Yeah.
Anything could work. You don't have to follow a certain story.
Right.
Anybody loves a post-apocalyptic Mad Max world.
Yeah.
But you're right. No, I totally agree. So GTA 5 and the Mass Effect series would be good adaptations.
At least from our point of view.
Right.
If you don't disagree, you know what to do. Go and vent on our Facebook page. Not in the item reviews, because then you're going to put a one star, and that's not, like, that's not exactly where we're trying to find on this.
That's not cool, bro.
Yeah, please. Well, all right, guys. That's all for this episode. Thank you again to be a nice listener. It's been 26, and the other day we were making a counting of how many months, and it's almost 8.5 months, so it's been a cool ride.
Yeah,
this is gonna get better and better. More guests, like Chris here mentioned, his friend John is gonna be in here, which is gonna be interesting, because I'm not a I wouldn't say I'm not a big fan of comics. It's just I feel like that's more like a big culture of America.
But that's really something to bring up too.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. No. I mean, I'm not even trying to say like it shouldn't fit in this podcast, but at least for me, that's the interest on that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up with that,
that media.
Right. It's just I knew that it exists, but at the time when I was young, there wasn't a lot of access to those materials. Like now. You get an iPad, you go to an iStore, and you find almost any comic that you want for kids, you know, like today. Back in the day, even not even Amazon, dude. Like, you will have hopes that maybe the store has some limited quantities of comics and stuff, so...
Right.
I didn't grow up with, you know, that.
But again, yeah, John will culture. Be able to tell us, like, exactly. How that entire media segment, which has been largely neglected... Yeah. For its entire lifespan until recently.
And like the interesting part of how it's affecting media, like TV shows, movies, even games, and how even that goes back to the comics too.
Yeah. How it all is just cyclical, all into
exactly.
itself.
Exactly. It's just a new, it's just that. It's just expand to other media, but at the same time, everything connects.
Yep.
So it will be interesting. We're going to have Mr. Freeze too, rapper guy, really dope guy. And it will be interesting also to see his view of stuff from that perspective, you know. I think that's the cool thing of the guests when they come. Everybody just grew up differently, watching maybe some things, you know, the same things, but then, you know, with different contexts and backgrounds. That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah.
All right, people. We love you so deeply. Probably the main role... guy for The Last of Us should be Diego Luna.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know. But anyways, hashtag Halos.
Got to watch out for the leakers.
Yep. Just use the hashtag, please, and tag us. Let's do some clickbait with hashtag
Halos. Hashtag Halos.
All right, guys. Adios.
Adios, guys.